My subject for today is truth-denying footnotes and omissions of the NIV. The NIV is the New International Version. Now, I want to start out by saying almost everything I have to say today is negative. So if you don't like negatives, well, I feel sorry for you. And I have to say that the print of my document is important, so I'm going to be leaning my head over and showing you my baldness probably all the way through. And I warn you that if you don't agree, if you cannot endure criticism, then don't try to hear or to read, when it's in print, any of the following, because you'll have problems. Now, we agree that the man who said that the NIV, that is that New International Version of the Bible, we agree with him, and he said that the NIV is strangling, or it's the cleverest attack on God's true word of modern times. Now, our order in talking about the subjects that are ours needs to be an order of biblical sequence rather than importance. So one of these items I talk about may be intensely fascinating to you, and the next one may bore you to tears, and I'm sorry about that. I hope I don't have too many of the boring to tears items. And of course, we need to take into consideration that we cannot possibly talk about all of the problems in the NIV. That would take a long time, because there are plenty of problems there. Item number one, and in some cases you may want to turn in your Bible to the text about which I speak. And otherwise, well, just listen. Matthew 6:13. The KJV, the King James Bible, says, quote, "Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But then there's an NIV. In the NIV, there's a footnote. And this footnote is on, in case you want to check up on me, page 1296, and it says, this is just a footnote in very fine print at the bottom of a page, not always the right page, sometimes it's a page or two ahead. I didn't notice anywhere it's a page or two behind, but I did find somewhere a page or two ahead. And the NIV says, some, this is a quote, some late manuscripts, and they almost always say MSS to refer to manuscripts. Some of the laymen may not know that, but that means manuscripts. Some of the late manuscripts, one. Now that's the end of a quotation that they don't mention, and it's not clear, and they didn't clarify, so I can't explain it. I don't know why it says O-N-E, period, but it does. Oh no, excuse me, it's comma. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What happened to the rest of that? Okay, that's item number one. Item number two. This is Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, where the King James Version says, quote, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And that's the end of what the KJV has to say, but the NIV text says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, quote, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then there's an NIV footnote. That one is on page 1298, which says, the Greek word was used for various diseases affecting the skin, not necessarily leprosy. Unquote. Well, first time I read that, something lifted up and went back down again. And I thought, well, I ought to study that a little more. And some of this is the result thereof. I have two Greek lexicons, so I went to my Greek lexicons, and neither of them agrees with the footnote that's in the NIV. And I did a lot of thinking about that. Now, most laymen don't have even one Greek lexicon. I happen to have two. Dr. Waite probably has three or four or five. But that's a way to defend oneself in case you have one. And I wonder if maybe the NIV translators, they must have a much more modern lexicon than I have. And if you think there's a little bit of trickery in there, well, okay. Item number three. Matthew 9:18. The TR this time. The TR says, quote, my daughter has just now died, unquote. But in an NIV footnote, and this one is on page 1301, says, my daughter is now dying, unquote. And you can see through that right away that that denies Jesus' wonderful miracle in raising her from the dead. She never died. So, item number four, Matthew 10:18. The TR records that one of Jesus' commands was, quote, cleanse those who have leprosy, unquote. This is going to sound repetition. There's an NIV footnote on page 1302. Repeats something already noted, namely that, quote, the Greek word was used for various diseases affecting the skin, not necessarily leprosy. Same claim is made also elsewhere, and one of the places is in Matthew 11:5. Item number five. Matthew 12:6. The King James Version says, a greater than the temple is here. But the NIV says, quote, something greater than the temple is here. Unquote. Also, in Matthew 12:41, quote, they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now, parenthesis, could be, nobody explained that to me, something greater than Jonah is here. Something. Isn't that interesting? Then in Matthew 12:42, she, and of course we all know who she was, she came to listen to Solomon, and now something greater than Solomon is here. Very complimentary to him, wasn't it? All right, that's enough for the somethings. Then item number 6 on my list, Matthew 16:18. The King James Version says, the gates of hell, unquote. That's all I quoted to that. But the NIV text on page 1312 prefers Hades instead of hell. Well, when I was a small child, some older person didn't know any better, but I didn't know that she didn't know any better, said Hades is a much more polite word because they use that other word when they swear. Well, they should use it in some places where it ought to be used, but when you come right down to it, Hades and hell are not equal. They aren't equals. Hades, according to the usage of the pagan world, refers to, quote, the abode of the departed. And they're all mixed up there, because they're no good, no bad. They're all dead, or they're all something that's alike. But the Bible and the Bible believers understand that hell refers only to the place of the departed who are lost and condemned to everlasting punishment. And the people who are supposed to be residents of a general Hades, they don't even go there. Some of them go to hell, and some go to glory, depending on what they did with him. Item number 7, Matthew 17:21. And please, again, let me interrupt myself to say that I haven't included them all, so you may find some that I didn't. You won't have any trouble if you look. 17:21, the KJV says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Unquote. The NIV has a footnote saying, you, that's Y-O-U. What that was about, I'm not going to explain. Then there's a comma. Says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some manuscripts. In other words, some manuscripts have that quotation. And the ones that don't have it are the ones that don't have it. They're without it. So that's not part of the KJ or the NIV Bible. The Bible with small print, please. In other words, the entire verse is omitted. I don't know whether to apologize or not, but in Schofield's notes, he says, quote, this omission is on testimony of the two best manuscripts. Shame on him. He was a man who knew enough Bible who should have known better. Said, well, let that get into print, even if he did dream sometimes about it, or whatever he might have done, I don't know. And tell me, that important quote, was that actually left out because of only two? Was that an omission only on account of two? If you can call them manuscripts. That's a good question. Number eight. Item number eight. Matthew 18:11. The King James Version has, quote, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." The Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. And the NIV has a footnote, page 1314, saying, quote, "Some manuscripts," quote, "verse 11, the Son of Man came to save what was lost." Otherwise, the NIV omits verse 11 entirely. And this complete, that's all only in the footnotes, not in the text, see? Otherwise, you see, it's just that the NIV leaves the whole verse out. In which the Lord Jesus Christ lovingly, graciously explained why he had come. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he came? And he had a right to declare his purpose. Item number nine, Matthew 21:44. The King James Version text says, "He who falls on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." The NIV, on page 1320, says, quote, "Some manuscripts do not have verse 44. Because some have it, some don't have it. Sometimes as few as two. All the rest of the manuscripts have it. They'll leave it out on the argument of those two. Now I find that they are referring to Lachman and Tischendorf. This time it's not Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. This time it's Lachman and Tischendorf. Two. They don't include this verse. And if some of you have read some others and found there are some more, you can add them to the list. I don't happen to have them on my list. Now, is this to promote faith in God's word or in man's scholarship? Item number 10. Matthew 24:36-44. Where the TR testifies on the authority of the Savior, quote, "Concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of the heavens, but my Father only." The NIV adds, "Nor the Son." They had inside information that somehow or other they got. Some Bible believers might look upon that footnote as superfluous baggage in view of the fact that Jesus was right there at the time. And he had said, "My Father only." And I didn't accept that. The Son, they say, didn't know. Item 11. Matthew 26:28. The TR says, "For this is my blood, that of the new covenant, which for many is poured out for remission of sins." An NIV footnote on page 1328 says, quote, "Some manuscripts, quote, the new," they were saying the new covenant, only some manuscripts do that, according to them. But they were referring to the covenant. Now, the King James Version calls it, quote, "my blood of the New Testament." Ever notice that at the Lord's Supper table? It's the New Testament, it's not the covenant. It's the New Testament. Thank God. The Lord Jesus did something that was different. And I read, "Therefore, thus the NIV seems merely to be adding Christ's blood sacrifice to the many offerings of animal blood in the Old Testament, or in the Old Covenant, which were required under Old Testament covenant, serving as type to foretell of Messiah's coming," and I put that with a capital C, as well as M for Messiah, "Messiah's coming and shedding his blood, a one-time sacrifice for sins." Excuse me. I preached for long years. Number 12. We go now to Mark's Gospel. Most of my items are from Matthew's Gospel. The bridge here. Mark's Gospel, the NIV, page 1334, starts Mark by saying, quote, "John the Baptist prepares the way." Do you ever read the NIV? Have you seen that there? It's right across the top of the page where the scripture is supposed to be. It says the NIV, John the Baptist prepares the way. Well, amen. That's good for John, but this is an interesting thing, as John is not mentioned in the text until Mark 1:4, four verses later. Mark 1:1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God." They're giving it to John the Baptist. Well, I'm glad for John the Baptist. He got a lot of credit. He deserved it. And he lived a life that showed that he deserved God's special anointing. Thank God for that. And God made him that way and made him that able. Mark 1:2 says, "It is written in the prophets." Mark 1:3 says, well, here's where John gets a little bit of introduction. He introduces John by saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." Now, does not this rewriting of God's holy word contradict John's own voice of one who was crying in the wilderness? He said, "He must increase, I must decrease. Seems to me that the NIV text was scared to death that the Lord Jesus might increase as a result of what they wrote, so they had to put another. Well, number 13, Mark 16, 9 through 20. King James Version says, "Now having risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons, and she went and told them that had seen him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto one of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The end of the quote. The NIV states, and this is not a footnote, it's right across the page where the text ought to be. And it says, the two most reliable early manuscripts do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. And then the NIV prints the New International Version of the passage. Why do they print it if it doesn't belong there? That's not logical. Of course, I guess we shouldn't expect that. Item number 14, is it? King James Version says, For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And the NIV on page 1381 offers a footnote telling, quote, Some manuscripts add, and he said, You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now that's in the footnote. It's not up in the text. As in Matthew and Mark and this instance, the NIV would completely ignore Jesus' own declaration of his purpose in coming to earth, except for a little footnote. This one is Luke 9:56. And the footnotes are all in very tiny print. You can look for yourself, but don't buy one just for that purpose. Item number 15, Luke 11:2-5. The King James Version says, And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The NIV, page 1384, says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Unquote. Any of us, or some of you, while preferring Matthew's rendering of the prayer, yet are willing for Luke's brevity, if it is Luke's, still we have a problem in giving up the hour in front of the Father. Go to the Gospel of John. John 3:13. King James Version says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The NIV says, and this is in a footnote on page 1412, which is the next page after this. For fear, well, so fewer people will read it, I think. But anyway, it's later on. And it says, their quote is, quote, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And then they add a footnote, which is the one on the next page, to comment that some manuscripts say, who is in heaven? We wonder about such persons as Elijah and Elisha. And if heaven has no time, and my theology teacher said, always remember, brother, there's no time in heaven. It's eternity. So there's no waiting in heaven. Well, anyway, if heaven has no time, then there's only eternity without any waiting. And how about Noah and Job and Abram and a few others, some of whom you might want to name. Are they or aren't they? Or are they waiting? Now this one will take your hat off. Item 18. No, 17, excuse me. Item 17, John 3:16. It's too familiar to quote. Recite it in your memory. So I didn't put it into the text to read. But the NIV on the following page, that's page 1413, has a footnote saying, some interpreters end the quotation after verse 15. How many of you were saved because of part of the message that's in John 3:16? Too bad about you. That's not in their Bible. Those manuscripts end the quotation after verse 15. John 16 didn't get in the Bible. But then they went ahead and printed it anyway. And related thereto would be item 18, John 3:31 through 36. The NIV has a footnote on page 1413, the same page, I think, saying, some interpreters end the quotation after verse 30. But they're not referring necessarily to the same quotation as previously. This is a different footnote and appended to with a different little number. Some end it with 30, which omits all of the following from, which is in the KJV. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. Amen. Item number 19. This one's more familiar to most of us. John 7:53-8, 1-11. And the NIV intercepts John 7, before the end of 53, or before verse 53, to state that, quote, the earliest and most reliable manuscripts do not have John 7:53-8:11. Parenthesis, yet, and this is my parenthesis, the NIV carries the passage anyway. Wonder why. Page 1421, and there. Translation, of course, is according to NIV style, which I do not quote. And make no comment. Seems that some attention is deserved. Nonetheless, Schofield cites Augustine explaining that including an account of an adulterous woman receiving absolution when she should have been stoned might have promoted encouragement of immorality. And well, it might, especially among the lovers of adulterous sin. But the other side of that viewing, the other side of the picture, reminds us that Jesus came to save sinners and to change them, freely cleansing them of both stain and guilt. Including the passage grants to the soul sick of sin the kindly offer of opportunity to enjoy Christ's grace, about which he has commissioned us to tell the world. From this his point of view, then, it may rather be the most reliable manuscripts rather than those that have perpetuated the passage, while the least reliable wanted it lost. Item number 20, Acts 8, 36 and 37, the KJV includes both. The NIV omits entire verse 37, but carries a footnote on page 1456 saying, quote, some late manuscripts add 37, where Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the official answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Too bad that the editors were not able to bring themselves around to put a good testimony like that, so good a testimony, into their text instead of only in the footnotes. Item 21. Acts 9, 3-6. King James Version reports, quote, "And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We note that the NIV lets Saul call Jesus Lord while he is unidentified. The suddenness of Saul's conversion is seen in that as soon as Jesus identified himself, Saul asked for orders. That would be good for our people. That would be good preaching. Item number 22, Acts 15:18. My Greek says, and this is translated, of course, quote, known from eternity unto God are all his works. But the NIV, and they have a note on page 1466, saying, these things that have been known for ages. And saying it that way, you may not have noticed it, but it does separate God both from the and from being the beginner, the creator. We've known that a long time, see? Item number 23.
What are we doing?
Seven more? Acts 24:14-15, the NIV reports on page 1480 that Paul claims to believe there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. But my Greek text says that the resurrection of both righteous and wicked will be a resurrection of the dead, which is not stated by the NIV. Many may ask, should that be necessary? Well, since it happens so seldom, I thought, well, it seems that it's not overplaying it to mention it here. Item number 24. In Romans 13:9, the King James Version has Paul very specific about five of the thou shalt not. Before, he generalizes that, quote, if there be any other thing, unquote, but the NIV omits on page 1502, quote, thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, obviously they didn't have it in their Bible, they really couldn't obey it, could they? But in our day, with our Bibles, that's an omission I don't think we can afford. Item number 25, 1 Corinthians 6:9, KJV, the King James Bible, says, quote, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. The NIV, on page 1510, says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, And somebody said that that's the only place homosexuality appears in their Bible. I don't know that that's true, but that's been said by quite a lot of preachers. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That cuts out a lot of people, doesn't it? These two passages, my comment is, these two passages are not alike, and we prefer the King James Version. It's our position that the NIV people have failed to make any case for a number of the changes they have made, even right here, and in which they delight. Number 26, Galatians 2:20. King James Version quotes Paul saying, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Unquote. The NIV carries a footnote, page 1536, which says, "Some interpreters end the quotation after verse 14. That means that everything after 14 is omitted from their Bible with a small b. That includes that passage. That's omitted. It's not in there. Too bad. Item number 27, 1 Timothy 1:17, the TR says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The NIV, page 1562, says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And omits the wise. Why? Wise is included in the NIV in the Romans passage, Romans 16:27. "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." And this little contribution to your heart from Adam Clark.
Is that my first one or my ending one?
2 minutes. Okay, all right. I have time to read this. Adam Clark. He said, "To God only wise comes with great propriety. He alone, who is the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, had all this mystery within himself. And he alone who knew the times, the places, persons, and circumstances could reveal the whole. And he has revealed all in such a way as not only to manifest his unsearchable wisdom, but also his infinite goodness. Therefore to him be glory for his wisdom in devising this most admirable plan, and his goodness in sending Christ Jesus to execute it. To him, through Christ Jesus, be glory forever. Because this plan is to last forever and is to have no issue but in eternal glory." And the rest of it you can read sometime, perhaps.